I got a little Bible study slash sermon slash hope it's something that will help you through the week. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Tonight we're going to look at, oftentimes pastor and whoever's up here gets up here and tries to encourage folks to do something for the Lord. Whether it's a witness to a neighbor, whether it's work in a Sunday school class, or whether it's be a missionary, or whether it's get called to preach, or do something for the Lord besides fill a pew, So there's always that encouragement that we try to give everybody to try to get something done. And I know many times, for example, we had a missionary come through lately that charged every one of us to go to the mission field. And I'm the kind of guy that sits back there and go, well, if we all go, who's going to pay for you to go? That kind of thing. So sometimes I look at some of these charges and challenges as, well, that's something I can't do, or that's something God wouldn't let me do. And I know each one of y'all, if there's something that comes up, you go, nah, that's not me. God will show me what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I believe God has been showing me in the last month or so, the things that I've been through, he's been really showing me a lot about the power of prayer. And, this is a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I get to preach to the choir. You folks are not shy about prayer and come here, a lot of you, for the purpose of praying for missionaries and praying for other needs, or maybe you have a prayer request you want to get on the list and make sure other people are praying for. So I got to looking through the Bible, and the Lord has put some things on my heart. And truly, we're going to talk tonight about your ministry of prayer. Because every one of you, every last one of you, has not only the obligation, but the availability and the access to have a prayer ministry. Now, and a lot of you don't think that way, and I haven't thought that way a lot, but not too many of you are going to get called to be missionaries, and not too many of you are going to get called to be preached, and I tell you what, the ones that are called to be over on Wednesday night Bible club are there right now, and maybe you'll get called to that, but I can guarantee you that you can have a ministry of prayer. And I'm preaching to the choir. You folks know that prayer changes things. What a privilege to be able to talk to the Creator. And just a privilege to be able to talk and access Him, but the privilege that He's actually listening and that He wants to act on your request. We take that for granted. Many times I bow my head and blow out a prayer, and I have just completely disregarded who I'm talking to and how powerful they are and what they can get done. And so I want to talk tonight about some things that would involve your ministry of prayer. And we're going to look at some scripture, lots of scripture, because it usually always preaches this better than I. And see, hopefully by the end of this short little lesson, there'll be something that God will say, you know what, you can do that. Or you know what, you could be better at doing that. Or even, you know what, you're doing a real good job at that. Keep it up. Okay, I want you to be encouraged in this message because the Lord got to encourage me on some things that I'm doing and encourage me to do some things I'm not. And so I believe it'll be a real help to you. But first of all, let's get with the Lord and get Him involved. Father, I just, once again, it's a true privilege to stand in pastor's pulpit and to fill in today, and big shoes to fill, Lord. But I've got an advantage. I've got your words, and I've got you. And Lord, with that, I know that this is going to work out just fine. If you show up and you get involved, and the folks here truly want to hear from you, then Lord, we can really accomplish some great things in the lives of these folks tonight, as far as their ministry of prayer. And Father, I surely pray that you'd help each one of us leave here tonight a lot better and a lot more knowledgeable about this privilege that you've given us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, The Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Now, many, many times you've heard that, and they go on and tell the parable about the unjust judge and due to the man's importunity or his not giving up and keep praying that he got a prayer answered or got a request made. I just want to look at that verse and look at it a little bit different. It says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. This parable, he's saying, this is the reason I'm giving you this parable. This is what it's all about. And then he tells them that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Not to faint means not to stop. So the Lord right here is giving them an example, giving them a parable, and he's saying, you know what? I'm giving you this so that you'll understand that men ought to always to pray. And so I believe that we have a call from God or a duty from God to pray. And I believe God wants us to be praying. I believe he wants us to always be praying, and I don't believe he wants us to stop. So, saying all of that, the first point of this little lesson is going to be, you know, the first requirement in your ministry of prayer is that it should be continual. Continual. Turn to Colossians chapter 4. We're going to look at a lot of scripture. Because the Lord gave us a lot of scripture, and he gave us a lot of examples. You know, continual means that your prayer ministry ought to be a full-time job and not a part-time job. It ought to be more than 40 hours. He said men ought to always to pray. Look what Paul tells the church here in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Paul writes here, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer. It ought to be continual. We should, and it says watch. It says continue in prayer and watch in the same. You know, what's a watch? Not a wrist watch. A watch is a period of time where you stand duty. You know, in the Bible, there's several watches in the night. In other words, you know, if you're not sleeping, then you ought to be in a position to be praying. Okay? We're going to look at some verses, all those wonderful things about pray without ceasing and all these kind of things. And there was a time in my life where I wondered how do you do that? You know, how do you pray without ceasing? Well, we're going to look at that. But, you know, one of the requirements of this, your prayer ministry and my prayer ministry, is that we should be in constant prayer or fellowship with the Lord all the time. All the time. Too many times this is the, I've lived there and I've gone there and I imagine you've gone there too. As far as prayer goes, I think it's Matthew chapter 6 where he says we ought to have a prayer closet. Okay, and we've preached and understood that you ought to have a time and a place every day where you spend time with the Lord. And we encourage you to read your Bible. We also encourage you to pray. But you can get entangled in this closet life and tying it into your prayer life where that's pretty much, well, you want me to pray for that? I'll make a note and I'll get with that when I go to my prayer closet. And we can get, I'm not saying you shouldn't have prayer closets, but I'm saying we ought to be able to walk in our life and always be ready to pray. You know, I've had people ask me, you know, brother, would you pray for this? Well, you know, when you start getting to be a seasoned saint, if you don't write that down or take a knife and scratch it into your palm, you're not going to remember to do that. And then, of course, later when they come back, oh, thank you for praying, and you didn't pray. I mean, that's like a knife in the gut. So I want to make sure if somebody asks me to pray for them that I pray for them. So I've developed a habit as soon as they ask, I pray. Okay, I'll say, well, can I pray with you now? Or, you know, as soon as they walk off, I pray. I know many of y'all, if you, I don't know how to explain this, but I know many of y'all have reached this stage in your Christianity where that you're walking through the day and you're in constant fellowship with the Lord and you're talking to the Lord about everything and not just the car that cut you off. okay, or those kind of things. But you're in constant contact and fellowship with the Lord. And how do you get there so that you can have this continual prayer life? Well, the only way you're going to get there is the Spirit of God, because we're not made like that. So let's just look at a few scriptures on being led by the Spirit and all those kinds. Turn to Romans chapter 8. All of these are going to be familiar verses, and they get familiar because we keep going back to them and getting fed from them. And Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So if you're a son of God, which means you are a born-again, saved Christian in this room tonight, then the Bible says you ought to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, that takes, you know, being led by the Spirit of God, I can give you my experience. I've never had the Spirit of God push me to do anything. I've never had the Spirit of God badmouth me to do anything, or twist my arm to do anything, or push me or shove me or grab me by a rope and pull me. No, it says we're led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is headed in the direction that we need to go. And what we need to do is orientate ourselves so we're looking to follow that and not fight it. And so we've got one advantage already, because if you're not saved, you're not going to be led by the Spirit of God. So we've got the advantage that it's a possibility that all of us could be led by the Spirit. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, look in verse 16. Paul says here to the church, the Galatian church, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So if you're saved, you're supposed to be led by the Spirit, but Paul's telling them to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Same chapter, look in verse 25. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. In verse 25, it says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So, you know, here we go. We're led by the Spirit. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. We're supposed to live in the Spirit. You know, sometimes, all the time, the breakdown is not the Spirit of God. Okay? So where's the breakdown? It's with us. It's with us. You know, if we're going to live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Many times, and we can run all the verses of how we can grieve the Spirit and quench the Spirit, because the Spirit is not this big bully that's going to make you pray or make you read your Bible or make you do the right thing. This Holy Spirit is a comforter. This Holy Spirit leads us. This Holy Spirit teaches us. And it doesn't work. You know, I guess it'd be great if the Holy Spirit was a big bully, you know. And we could come in and give testimonies how the Holy Spirit just beat us up today and made me come to church. But that's not the way it works. The Holy Spirit's available to help you do anything that you want to do. The Holy Spirit is there to teach you as much of that Bible as you want to learn. It's all available to every one of us. So in your ministry of prayer, the Holy Spirit is a very, very valuable part of that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 5. Typo. Another familiar verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess," but look at this, "but be filled with the Spirit." Many, many times, I've prayed it, Pastor prays it, Tony prays it, everybody Lord, let me be filled with the Spirit so that the work that we're going to do in this pulpit, or the work that we're going to do in these offices, or a visit that we're going to make, or a witness that we're going to try to do, we try to be filled with the Spirit. And we can run the verses, but when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit of God, and you get the whole thing. Okay, you don't get it in segments. You don't get slain with the Spirit later. You get the Holy Spirit. So this being filled with the Holy Spirit has to do, basically, if you want to just, how much of Randy is filled with the Spirit of God? How much room does the Spirit of God have in Randy to work? How much of the world am I saving? How much sin do I have piled away over here? How much room am I taking? How big of a hoarder am I? Okay? And the Spirit of God, to fill me, I got to get that stuff out so that the Spirit of God has full access to everything. And so if you want to be continual in prayer, you need to actually be able to walk your life with the Spirit of God leading you, guiding you, living your life by the Spirit of God in His direction. And when that is the focus of your life, then prayer comes so simply. Because that's what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. So when you see, this has been an evolution for me, because yesterday or something, I'm getting more and more every day where I see circumstances and I instantly are praying for these things. Instead of used to, I would just like pass on by. But now I'm seeing things that I pray for. And I believe that's the work of the Spirit of God in me, and yielding to the Spirit of God, that it actually opens up my prayer life. Does that make sense? You in your flesh, Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing. Okay? So to have a continual prayer life, something that is always right there and ready, it takes the Spirit of God to do that. And to do that, you gotta, do all the getting the world and all those things out. Look at another verse, Romans 12, on this praying continually. Paul is, in Romans 12, he's shooting off a bunch of orders here, in verse, 9 about love, and verse 10, be kindly affectionate one another, brotherly love, honoring, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord. Look in verse 12. He says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. If you just look at those five things, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, and given to hospitality. You know, that instant, continuing instant in prayer. What does instant mean? I mean, we live in an instant world. That means now. That means now. Continuing now in prayer. That's not waiting till you go to your prayer closet. That is something that you do on the run right now. That's instant. But it's tied to, he's snuggled it right in here, rejoicing in hope and patience in tribulation. Well, I talked a little bit about that on Sunday night, how that tribulation brings us that hope, and it's because of a growing faith we get there. Well, prayer is all tied into that, continuing, and then distributing to the necessity of saints and giving to hospitality. You know, if you wanted to just like round all that off and call it, we should be instant in prayer during the good times and the bad times. And I can guarantee you, you're more prone to prayer in which one? The bad times. Yes. When it's bad for you, that's when you just start slobbering and everything else to the Lord, because you've got a dog in the game. Okay. But when it's somebody else's problem, I can wait and put it on a list, and I'll get to that whenever I pray tomorrow. We don't get as instant about other people's problems as we do ours. I know I don't. I'm the first one to pray for me. And I'm pretty sure y'all are the last ones to pray for me. Okay? And it's the same way. He wants us to be continuing instant in prayer, so we ought to be at a point in our Christian walk where we are ready to pray just as fervently for the good things when it's good times as it is when it's bad. And God honors that, and God appreciates that. The first point of this whole thing is you got a full-time job if you've got a prayer ministry, and we all have it, and it's to be continual. This isn't something you do part-time. Okay? Let's look at Luke chapter 10. We'll look at the next point. In Luke chapter 10, I don't know, starting in around verse 30, it's the story of the Good Samaritan. And you're familiar with the story, verse 30, and Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among the thieves and was stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came by and looked upon him and passed by him on the other side. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, what? He had compassion on him. You know, first characteristic of this, your prayer ministry ought to be continual. The second one is it ought to be compassionate. It ought to be compassionate. It's, it's how much do you care? How much do you care? We live in a world now, if that happened today in Corpus Christi, I can guarantee you everybody would stop because they'd need to get their camera on so they could get it on YouTube. Or maybe they could sell it to one of the networks. I mean, how you like living in that world? It's amazing the things that you see on the news or on YouTube that those people need to be helped. They don't need to be filmed. But that's the world that we live in. And there's no compassion. There's no compassion in that. Compassion, I guarantee you, compassion in your prayer life makes things happen. It helps. Christ is our example for compassion. Turn to Mark. You're in Luke. Back up to Mark chapter 6. Compassion. In Mark chapter 6, we'll pick it up in verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart to a desert place and rest a while, for there are many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and went them, and came together unto him. Verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was much moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. The Lord was moved with compassion. And let's look at another one. Mark, you're in Mark, go to Mark 5. Verse 19. This is after Legion has been, he's cast the devils out of the Legion. And he tells him, let's see. Verse 15. And they came to Jesus, seeing him that it was possessed with a devil, and had the Legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Okay, he's had the devils cast out of him. Verse 16. And they that saw it told him how it befell him that he was possessed with a devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Imagine that. Verse 18. And when he was come unto the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He wanted to go with Jesus. Verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. You know, in your prayer life and in my prayer life, right here, the Lord told this man that the Lord had just done something really miraculous for him. He had taken a legion of devils out of him. He had changed his life completely. This man is now clothed and sitting at the foot of Jesus. It's a picture of how we are a new creature in Christ. Okay? And he tells this man that wants to follow him, he says, you know, go tell the others and go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. You know, to have a compassionate prayer life, I know that it comes with more experience. I know that it comes with age, okay? Because right now, I can guarantee you, I have a lot better view of how compassionate the Lord has been for me in my life. How compassionate the Lord has been in every time I have had a horrible thing in my life come apart, how sweet, how compassionate, how comforting the Lord has been and carried me through that. And if nothing else, my prayer life has more compassion for folks that have been through the things I've been through. You know, when we have a new widow or widower in this church, I've been there. I understand that. I have a compassion for that way more than some, you know, college and career young man or woman would have because I have experienced those things. We've got a bunch of seasoned saints in here. And we've got, even the ones that aren't seasoned, have been through some stuff. And God takes you through these things. And you know what he expects on the other end is just what Jesus Christ, he expects compassion for those that have that. If no other reason to have a good prayer life or a good prayer ministry, you ought to, if nothing else, have it just for the ones that you have compassion on, the things, people that have been through what you've been through. We've got people that have lost loved ones, people that have lost child, people that have lost jobs, people that are, you know, on and on and on. I can look through the crowd and name all kinds of things that you are survivors of. And not only survivors, you have survived and now you're thriving. And I believe what the Lord expects of us out of that is now he's got somebody that should have a little compassion for that thing. And he should have somebody that was willing to pray for those things. Does that make sense? And I think if nothing else, if you can't find something to pray for, just think of the last horrible thing that happened to you and how God got you through it. And I bet you can match up with somebody else and pray for them as they go through it and be a comfort to them. Turn it to, let's look at one more, Mark chapter 1. You're in Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 41. What's happening here? We'll pick it up in verse 38. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Verse 40, and there came a leper unto him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying, if thou wilt, can thou make me clean? And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. You know, he moved with compassion. You know, I'm telling you, compassion, I believe showing compassion will move the hand of God. I've seen it in my life. I believe that the Lord is always compassionate, and he's also always ready to move on our prayers. Turn to 2 Corinthians. You know, how many of y'all would agree with this statement that Paul was a pretty rough old Cobb? Huh? I mean, he gave the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, he gave them a mouthful. He gave them the best chewing out that you could possibly put in the Bible. Okay? And he said, when I get there, I'll not only, it won't be talk. I'm going to walk all of this. But old Paul, look, and when he wrote 2 Corinthians in chapter 2, verse 1, but I determined this myself that I would not come again to you in heaviness. Because he had already just blasted them in the first book, in the first deal. For if I make you sorry, who then is he that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I come I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. Verse 4, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with what? Many tears. Not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly. Even old Paul had some compassion. He had some compassion for this Corinthian church, this carnal church that was doing everything they could do and doing it wrong. And he had a constant battle with them, but he had compassion. And he prayed for these folks all the time. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, compassion helps make things happen. Turn to Jude. It's the last book right before Revelation. And it's only got one chapter, so you can't go wrong. Look in Jude 22. He's finishing off this letter and he says, well, you can get the context later, but it says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. I really believe that compassion in your prayer life, actually caring about the things that you pray for, makes a difference. It really does. I mean, I've told you in the past, I don't know how many years that we, I can remember in the metal building when the Thompson boys first got thrown in jail, or they were first going to court, and the whole story, and a lot of y'all have done the whole routine. We have prayed and prayed that they get out. No, they got the heavy hand. And well, we prayed and prayed and we wrote letters. And you know, how many of y'all wrote letters to the president? How many of y'all wrote letters to the governor? How many of y'all prayed? You know, I didn't even know them. Tonight there'll be prayer requests, and I can guarantee you, I don't even know. I got one that I'm going to tell you about, and I don't know them. And it's a hard thing to have compassion for somebody you don't know. But it's something that you can surely ask the Lord to start putting in your heart to have more compassion for the things on those prayer lists. I can guarantee you, until you have to go to the doctor and take tests and wait a week to see if you have cancer, you don't have much compassion when somebody says, I'm getting some tests done next week. But boy, when it happens to you, you understand that a lot more, and you know that your prayer is a lot more fervent. It's a lot more earnest. It's more alive. And I truly believe, I've said it before, that God cares about your prayer request just about as much as you do. And I really believe that. And I believe that compassion is going to make a big, big difference in your ministry of prayer. So we've got, have it continual. It's not a part-time job. It's a full-time job. Be compassionate. You know, how much do you care? Let's look at Matthew 21. Get another point here. And I pray somehow through this, the Lord is saying, you know what, you've been doing that good. Or you know what, you could probably do that better. I pray there's some kind of help in all of this besides just turning to the Scriptures and bearing through a lesson on this. Matthew 21, verse 22. It says, in all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Is that a prayer promise or what? How many of y'all have the testimony of that thing working every day in your life? Wow, I don't. I mean, I've prayed for so much stuff and I don't get squat, okay? But that's a great, it's almost unbelievable, believable prayer request. That if you, in all things, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. That's amazing. That's quite a promise. It's the problem is I fall short of that because of my belief. Okay? So the next point is your prayer ministry ought to not only be continual, it ought to be compassionate, and it ought to be convincing. Not in the fact that you've got to convince God. He knows whether you believe or not. The thing is, you got to convince you. And a lot of times, it's hard to pray for something that you really don't think God's going to do, right? I mean, how earnest do you get on your knees and go to the throne of God over something that you really don't think God's going to do it? It's more of a, well, I can check it off. I prayed for that. Okay. Oh, I guess I'm the only one. I'm the only one. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Amazing verse here. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." God's ability to do goes far beyond man's ability to ask. You know, it's almost like you don't know who you're asking. Is there anything that God cannot do? And we're not going to get into the goofy questions. Can God move an immovable object? Any of that kind of... I'm not going there. What I'm saying is we serve a creator that can answer any prayer. And we serve a creator that specializes in the miraculous. I mean, the everyday little stuff, you know, that's easy. He specializes in the hard things. He specializes in the things that we don't believe. In that same verse where we were reading a minute ago, I mean, if I had the faith of a mustard seed, the size of a mustard seed, then I could move mountains. How many of y'all have moved a mountain lately? Because I need you to counsel me on this faith and this belief that it takes to move a mountain. Turn to Romans 8. Convincing. You know, the point of the matter is there's nothing too hard for God. We tie his arms when we don't believe enough to ask. It's that simple. We read this scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says, "Likewise the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Verse 27, "And he," that's God, "that searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he," that's the Spirit, "maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." You know, all that we read that stuff, but you know the next verse is the one everybody likes to quote. "And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and who are called according to his purpose." You know, all that stuff ties together. It's that same thing I said before. We've got access to, we have the Holy Spirit of God willing to help us with our prayer life. He's interceding for us. And so he will take the things that you pray and turn them into the will of God. So that there's no prayer that's gone wasted. That you're not going to go to heaven and find a big pile of prayers. These were like on the editing room floor. They were cut because they just didn't make it. No, the Holy Spirit is there to take your prayer and turn it into the will of God. So if you're compassionate and you're continual, you're steadfast and going to keep doing this, and you're compassionate, you've got some heart in this, the Holy Spirit is going to take these prayers and turn them into something that God's going to get done. Okay? It's like any other part of the ministry. When you can finally get to the part and decide you are the littlest, weakest link in this whole thing, your prayer life is controlled, or should be controlled, by the Holy Spirit of God. And so, and you're praying to God Almighty, which can do anything. So I have to ask myself then, why do I not believe that he can answer these prayers? When I search that with myself, it's not truly that I believe that he can't answer these prayers. I start to believe that he won't. And you know what that's doing? I'm starting to have the mind of God. My ways are not his ways. Your ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. You don't know what God is willing and wanting to do. And yet we will not have the faith to earnestly pray for these things. So I encourage you, there may be something, I've got some things that the Lord has showed me that I have like given up on. I have decided, you know, I've prayed for that and there's just nothing happening and I'm waiting for an answer of yes or no or not now and I'm not getting anything, so it must be I ain't going to listen to that one. I don't believe there is one of those. I believe God listens to every prayer. I believe the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, intercedes for us when we don't know how we ought to pray. He says, I can take that. Lord, this is what he really means. This is what we ought to really do with this. And if all of that is happening, all our part is in believing it and doing it. It's very simple. It's very simple. We pass out these prayer cards later. I don't have any control over whether God answers any one of them. But truly, if I desire for him to get moving on some of these things, he does. We have answers and praise reports all the time where, thank you for praying for me. I could give you a dozen right now just over the last month where I know that people have prayed for me. I went through the situation with the peace of God on me, knowing that I'm not nervous. I know things are going to work because God, I know that I'm being prayed for. How many of y'all have ever asked somebody to pray for and you know it? Yeah. Yeah. So this convincing part of your prayer ministry ought to be something that's, if you break it down to the nuts and bolts, it shouldn't be that hard to believe. And yet, we don't. And yet, we don't. Final point. Final point. You know, I mean, I'm trying to encourage you because God's trying to encourage me that if I could get nothing else done in a day's work, if I could have a good prayer ministry where I'm always ready to pray for something, I have, and I continue in it, and I don't give up, I don't stop. I pray and I faint not. And if I could develop a heart where I'm compassionate for the things that I'm praying for, and I really care about those things, and I really want to see God move on them, you know, and I could get to the point where I can believe that God would answer these prayers. And I believe that God is gonna answer them. What a ministry I would have just every day. I know that I could go home at night and I know that God would have a smile on his face for at least that's part that I did. And what I'm trying to convince and encourage you, everyone in this room can do that. From the baby Christian to the seasoned saint, you can have a prayer ministry and you can make a difference. And you know, you've heard all these, you know, okay, we've got what, 50 people here. Okay, now let's say we're going to have everybody invite one to church. Okay, so everybody invites one. So next Wednesday, we have 100 people in here. And pastor preaches the gospel and they all get saved and we decide, okay, it works so well, we're going to do it again. So then now we have 100 people and they're all going to bring one. Okay, we do this and in about 4 weeks, we got to build a new church. Okay. Now, none of y'all believe that would work. We're all, yeah, ha 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 ha. Okay? I'm telling you, if these 50 people start really working and caring and continuing in their prayer life, I don't know what it would do. But I know it would be good. I know it would be good. We may not be able to see on this side of glory what it affects, but I know that it would be good. I know that it would not be of none effect. But here's the last point. I learned this one. Some of them you learn retail, some of them you learn wholesale. Some of them you have to pay retail twice. How many of y'all have ever paid twice what you should have paid for something? Sure. In any ministry for the Lord, the fourth point, consequences. Consequences. You know? Woods, are there any consequences to being a missionary? Yeah, there's consequences. There's a price to pay. I mean, you know, and we have folks come through here and they tell us the consequences of having the call of God to go somewhere. There's consequences to it. There's consequences for a pastor to be a pastor the last 20-something years. There's consequences of that. I can guarantee you there's consequences for those men and women that are next door trying to teach those young kids Bible at the Bible club. Okay? I know when I was in business, I mean, every time I took one step out for the Lord, It seemed as if I had to pay duty on that. There was a tariff to pay. And it almost got funny in our business where when we did something, we'd see something immediately blow up. And then Maureen and I'd be like, you know, the apostles would go, well, we took one for the Lord. Hey, all right, let's keep going. But there's always consequences to every ministry. If you're going to stand up tomorrow and decide that you're going to go down the street and knock on every door and talk to everybody in your neighborhood, okay, there's going to be consequences for that. Some of them are going to be immediately. They're going to slam a door in your face. Others, there's all kinds of things. It's amazing how flat tires can show up, those kind of things. I'm just saying that in any ministry, there's consequences. I'm going to show you two consequences of a prayer ministry, okay? Turn to Philippians chapter 4. And you're just, you know, if you're going to build yourself a good, solid, God-honoring prayer ministry, you're going to have to pay these consequences. Here's the first one. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, here we go, and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here's your consequence. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you're going to build yourself a really good prayer ministry, then you just better be ready to have the peace of God all over you. Okay? It's a hard one to live with, but I'm jesting, of course. I can't think of a bad consequence for a good prayer ministry. I can't think of one. This one is outstanding. The peace of, how many of y'all have ever prayed about something and immediately you didn't see an answer? Nothing changed that you could tell, but there was a peace that passes all understanding that just filled your hearts and minds. For the record, there's lots of hands in the room. That is a consequence of a good prayer life. That's a horrible consequence. Let's look at one more, and then we'll call it quits. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Philippians 4, Hebrews 4. Here's another consequence of that solid prayer ministry that I really want to encourage you to build for yourself. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Here's your consequence. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You go doing some of this stuff and you build yourself a good prayer ministry and you get solid in it, you know what you're going to reap? You're going to reap the ability to go get grace and mercy in a time of need from the throne of God. I'll take all of that I can get. Mercy is when God does not give you what you deserve. He can't give me enough of that. I like mercy. But grace is when He gives you something you don't deserve. And I like that. I like my salvation because I don't deserve it. And it's the truest form of grace. But He's saying there, if you pray, then you can come to that throne of grace and get that in the time of need. Have any of y'all lately had a time of need? No, nobody in the room ever has a time of need. But in case they do, they know where to go. Hebrews 4:16. Okay. Anyway, there's the two consequences that I could find a prayer, and I'll take either one of them. In fact, I'd build a prayer life just to be able to have those two. Okay? So hopefully, something tonight, you know, something the Lord has said, you know what? You've been doing that great. Keep it up. You know what? You could start doing that. You know what? You could do that better. I don't know. Hopefully, the Holy Spirit has talked to you about one little point of this, because like anything else, when we get up here and do a lesson or preach a sermon, it is overwhelming to do all the points. Walk out of here today and you're a graduated prayer warrior. You've got a prayer ministry. You've got a PhD in prayer. Okay? It ain't going to happen. But if you can take one point and build on that, what a blessing. What a blessing. And that's my prayer for you. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to do this lesson. I thank you for giving it to me and showing me all the parts that I have something to do with in that, Lord. And I truly want to increase and build my prayer ministry. And Father, I pray that you'd help me do it. I know that you've given me the Holy Spirit of God to lead and guide. And Father, I just pray that I'll do my part because I know you'll do your part. And I pray the same for these folks that are here. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.